Hey friends, welcome to episode 169 of the Fierce Calling Podcast. I'm your host, Doris Swift, and I want to warmly welcome you into this space today. And if you enjoy the show, I would ask if you would please share it with someone who might need to hear the words that are spoken today. And if you need some encouragement, this is the place you need to be. My guest this week is Rachel Wojo. She is an author, a speaker, and she also has her own podcast. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we're going to talk about some really hard seasons that she experienced in her life and what sustained her. And she has encouraging words for you because we all go through hard seasons in life. And although our seasons may not look the same, we can still grasp hold to the truth of the hope that we have. And she is just such a joyful woman of God. I am so thankful that she's on the show today. And she's going to really share some difficult things in her life that include going through an unexpected divorce, you know, that really hit her, kind of blindsided her. And she's going to also talk about her experience as a special needs mom and parts of her story where she talks about her beautiful daughter and losing her and what that was like and what really brought her through, and encouragement for you because she has a heart to encourage women, especially those who are walking through some heartache. Listen in. You're going to be so inspired by what Rachel has to share today. So please stay tuned. Friend, what threatens to steal your joy today? When the struggles of this world drain us dry and wring us out, our desert mentality becomes fertile ground for the enemy's lies to grow. We place our trust in what we see and feel instead of in the God we know and love. Surrender the Joy Stealers is a strategic 6-week Bible study rooted in John 15 that helps women rediscover the overflowing, ever-present Jesus joy within that fills them, empowers them, and ripens the fruit God produces in their lives. Using personal and biblical application, women will learn how to identify their joy stealers, surrender them to God, reawaken the joy within them, and share that joy with others. Pick up your copy today. It's perfect for individual or group study. You can find it on all the online retailers. Surrender the Joy Stealers. Rediscover the Jesus joy in you. It's time to take your joy back. Welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited to welcome my friend, Rachel Wojo. She is a public speaker, a writer, a podcast host, and she's the author of One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up. She has a popular blog and loves to rally around people of all ages to let them know that God's word has solutions for their problems, and she's such an encourager. She lives in Ohio with her husband, Matt. They're the parents of 8 children, 2 in heaven and 6 on earth, and she's got great things to help encourage us, and I can't wait to get into our conversation. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Doris. I really appreciate everything that you're doing here at Fierce Calling.
Thank you so much. And you're also a podcast host, which is very cool. Your podcast is Untangling Life, right?
That is true. Yeah. And I don't think my podcast is as veteran as yours is. I have been podcasting for only 2 years, which is not very long for compared to many of us.
It's such a great concept, and you've had great guests on there, and I think you had Pam Farrell on not long ago. And
I did. I love Pam. Has she been a visitor here as well?
She's great. I'm trying to get her on, her and Karen Whiting together. Karen's been on a couple of times already, and their book that just released, I'm trying to get them both to come on this show together, which would be really fun. And so looking forward to that. But I just love how when you go to your site, it's just so welcoming and warm and friendly. And right off, you see where it says helping you cultivate faith to weather life's storms. So I would love if you would share a little bit about your story and how you're taking action where your passion, compassion, and conviction intersect.
Sure. So I'm sorry if there's a little background noise. I am homeschooling two of my kiddos. They are in an online charter school, but I think sometimes they forget that the noise echoes through even though mom's door is shut. So I apologize if there's any extra noise there. In regards to the heart of what a lot of mine and my husband's story is, it really is a redemption story. We had each of us our own individual experiences, having been previously married, each of us many, many years ago when we were both young. And I found myself as a divorced single mom, a place I never thought I would be after being in a Christian environment for so many years. You know, my parents were Christians. I grew up going to church three times a week. Mm-hmm. I attended Christian school and attended Christian college, and then even kind of completed that circle by attending or teaching in a Christian school. And after that first year, my husband at the time, who was a Bible college graduate, who was planning to be in the ministry as a youth pastor, I found out that he was having an affair. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our marriage did not withstand mm-hmm. that affair, and we wound up divorced. And so I had this beautiful little girl, Taylor, during that time. So for the 5 years that we were married, he was having this affair. And then I suddenly found myself single mom of a special needs child. Mm-hmm. So it was a place I never thought I would be in. And this little girl had the most beautiful bouncy curls, and she could light up a room like nobody's business. Just one of those kids that everyone turns their head to watch because she looks like she's having so much fun. Mm-hmm. And that was the kind of little girl she was. And she had a way with words. She could not speak entirely clearly, and she had some intellectual developmental disabilities. So there were times where she would mesh her phrases together or mesh her songs together. And it turned out to be the cutest little thing that we grew to appreciate more and more. It's at the time that we're recording this, it's October. So I'm thinking about the end of the month. In October, she would often go trick-or-treating, and she had a way of thanking everyone when they would put their candy in her bucket. She would say, "Thank you, welcome," every house. It was like, "Thank you, welcome, uh-huh. thank you, welcome." And it was like she was keeping the other person from even having to bother saying, "You're welcome." It was just one of those sweet little things that she did. And so Taylor lived to be 22, but she had a rare metabolic disorder called mucopolysaccharidosis. It's also known as Sanfilippo syndrome, and many will call it the Alzheimer's of childhood. Mm. So gradually she lost every neurological skill that she had, and that degeneration is a part of the disease. So we watched her go from that bubbly, happy, sweet girl to being completely bedridden and unable to call us mommy and daddy. And in the meantime, our family, in those years of her growing up, we continued to have children. When I met Matt, God graciously brought him into my life, and we met and married. He had a little girl, Tiffany, who was 9, and I had my Taylor, who was 4 at the time. And we married and had 5 more children, our Michael, Tristina, Samuel, Tara, and Tessa, and they are now today 21, 19, 18, 14, and 12.
Wow.
So many years have passed since that. Our sweet Taylor, she graduated to heaven January 2nd, 2019. So I don't know how to nutshell our story very well. I probably gave you way more than what you were asking for, Doris, but hopefully that gives your listeners an opportunity to understand a little bit of our story.
Yes. Thank you for sharing all of that and the precious memories that you have of Taylor and her sweet ways. And how did those months look like for you? Was there a certain scripture that you grabbed hold of? Was there a certain passage, or what we know our strength comes from the Lord, but was there something specific that really helped you and ministered to your heart during that really difficult season?
I think it was a long span of time. And so there are many, many scriptures, many passages that are near and dear to my heart. Galatians 6:9, of course, that we'll reap in due season if we do not give up. And Psalm 18 was very near and dear to my heart, the entire Psalm. I felt very close to that Psalm and read it over and over again. But I think one of the passages that is so pivotal for us when you look at our story over the years actually comes from the story of David and Goliath in the Bible. And it's just one phrase. When Goliath approached David and he was assaulting him with his words, then David's response was one line: "The battle is the Lord's. You come to me with your sword and your spear and your shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And then a little further down in the passage of 1 Samuel 17, it says, "The battle is the Lord's." Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why that verse was so special to me is because Taylor, as a developmentally delayed child, many times the expectations were low of her. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people didn't see the potential that she had or see the joy that she had. Many times with special needs children, they are looked down upon or bullied, or there are all sorts of scenarios in the world, especially in that day and age. People, I think, are a little more aware. There has been an awareness over the years that has developed as we have more and more special needs children who live instead of dying at birth, like so many used to years, decades ago. Mm-hmm. And so Taylor, she would go into Sunday school, and this was, you know, I'm dating myself here, but we went to Sunday school class. It wasn't a small group at that time. And so we would go to Sunday school every week, and there were teachers who really believed in her ability. Mm-hmm. And so one week, even though we knew that neurologically she was degenerating, one week she came out and her teacher came out with her and she said, "Taylor, can you say your verse for today?" And Taylor said, "The battle is the Lord's," plain as day.
Wow.
And so I never forgot that. I can see it in my mind's eye as plain today as when it happened all those years ago, over 18 years ago, because, actually it's been longer than that, 426, about 20 years ago. And I can still see that in my mind's eye and remember that phrase because I held it near and dear to my heart throughout the time that she was disabled, that she was continually declining. Then I would remind myself, "The battle is the Lord's, the battle is the Lord's." And even recently took that phrase and made it into wall art and put it over the front door of our house so that when you exit our front door, it's what you see right above. You walk right under that promise that the battle is the Lord's. So I think that that passage in particular is one that people enjoy understanding, that in the thick of things, sometimes you just need the neatest, tidiest little phrases that you can remember and cling on to and hold near and dear to your heart to put on repeat.
Yes.
Right. We all need that repetition.
Yes. How beautiful it was for you to receive that gift from the Lord through Taylor, knowing that it was going to continue to encourage your heart and encourage others' hearts too. And just putting it like how the word, you know, tells us to like post things so there's remembrance, you know, like different things that the stones of remembrance and all of those things that we can continually remember that God is with us and it is his battle. And I'm sure it was also life-giving to the rest of your family when, you know, because your children were also navigating this with you too. Was there something that you found to be encouraging or helpful for them as they were also going through this with their sister?
Well, I think What's interesting about it is that because all of my younger children were born after Taylor, they never knew any different. Mm-hmm. They always accepted people just as they were, and loved on people just as they were, because they grew up knowing Taylor and they never knew that they should, or that the potential of being negative was there. They just really were very accepting and loving from the beginning. And I actually was cleaning up my blog just a week or so ago, and I found a post from my now 19-year-old, but at the time she was six. And we had been doing a fundraiser for Taylor's disease, the foundation for her disease, the MPS Society. We were selling shirts, and someone came to our home to buy one of the shirts, and they gave me their money and, you know, thanked me. And we held up the shirt, made it fit, and they went on their way. And my little six-year-old girl, Tristina, at the time, she ran upstairs, got her piggy bank, brought it back down. And she said, "Mom, how much are the shirts? I want to help sick kids."
Wow.
And she's 6 years old. Said, "Well, I don't know. How much do you have?" And she pulled everything out of her piggy bank. Mind you, she's six. And she had $2.32. And she said, "Is $2.32 enough to help the sick kids?" And I said, "Absolutely." So we have a picture of her wearing her shirt that she bought to help sick kids at the age of six. And I just think that it's one example of time and time again, how the Lord used Taylor in the lives of my other children to develop an empathy, to develop a compassion for people who are suffering. And even my Michael, just a few months ago, I asked him, "What do you want to do more than anything?" And he said, "I just love helping people." And I really believe that was developed because of Taylor. And just that's all they've ever known. I mean, my youngest, she would dress Taylor as, I mean, as early as age 3 and 4, she would help put Taylor's socks on, and she would brush her hair, and she would get her drink and hold her sippy cup and all those things. So having someone to care for in your home teaches a lot of character. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And even though there were times where my husband and I really tried to make sure that everything that we did would allow them to continue to have a beautiful childhood and they wouldn't miss things because of Taylor's disability. We took her all over the place. We took her to the zoo. We took her to the pool. We took her everywhere we were going. We tried to take her for as long as we could. Now, there came a time when we couldn't take her like that. But for many, many years, we took her everywhere. And I think that that developed just a lot of character in my children. And even as they get older, I think they are more grateful for those opportunities to learn from a special needs sister.
Yeah. Beautiful life lessons that they were living out, that there wouldn't have been another way that they could have understood about that except for actually being part of it and and developing those servant hearts that they did.
Right.
Precious. So that's
awesome. And I think that there are lessons that they learned very early on in life that there are still many adults that I see and approach today who haven't learned those lessons because they just never had the opportunity. So I'm grateful that they had that opportunity.
Yeah. And then you were writing, because you've been blogging for years, right? And you've been writing and sharing. Yeah. So
my very first blog way back in the day was on a, it was what did they call it? A Blogspot blog, which is Google's original blogging platform back in the day. And so that was in 2009, cutting edge Blogspot blog.
I had one of those.
Things have changed just a little since then.
A little bit. Yeah. I actually tried to find mine. It was called Subject to Change, Life as We Know It. And I couldn't find it anymore. It's Well, I don't know. It might be out there somewhere, but yeah, I remember the blog spots and yeah, fun times. And some of my listeners may have also read things that you've written over the years, because you've also written for some very well-known organizations, right? Where are some of the places where your writing has shown up?
So I had a period of time where I was writing with Jesus Calling for a while. I just love that opportunity. And then I have written for Proverbs 31 Ministries, for Focus on the Family, for, let's see, Olive Tree Bible Software. Mm-hmm. And just this week, I actually became a partner with YouVersion, and I'm really excited about that. So many, many opportunities to work with Speak Up Conference, to work with some really incredible companies, the children's division of Thomas Nelson, mm-hmm. Tommy Nelson. I worked with them for many years. I worked with Dayspring and still have articles that are published there and that you may have seen the fall blog on Dayspring and have been featured in there. Magazines in the grocery stores. It's always fun as a writer to actually be able to go to your local store and find your work, whether that is a magazine or a book or whatever. So that's a big deal for authors in today's day and age, because retail stores are a little farther mm-hmm. and fewer than what they used to be, especially in the bookstore mode. So all sorts of places that I have had the opportunity to work with over the years. And I feel like God just opened those doors in an incredible way for me every time. I would just put myself out there and mm-hmm. say, okay, Lord, if it's what I'm supposed to do, you open the door. And if it's not, please close it. And we're talking about all the opportunities that I had, but mercy, Doris, there were a lot of closed doors in there.
As an author, you know, that is something that definitely we experience, and it is a learning experience for us. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the big picture, because we can often feel personal rejection, but when we look at the big picture, it's like, well, that wasn't the right place, and those were the doors that were closed for a purpose and a reason, and it allowed for other doors to open. And and the difference between that and a faith-based believing author, you know, that is walking with Jesus. When we talk about seeing articles and magazines and those kind of things, it's different from a worldly perspective or from a secular world view, because we're not looking at it as, wow, look at me, you know, I've made it here, I've arrived or something. It's more like, wow, look what God has done. Look, mm-hmm. look what God did, look what he's done, and look how many people he wants to bless and minister to through the words that he's given. So it's really pretty special to experience.
We're just vessels. Mm-hmm. We are just vessels. Yeah.
You know, and staying humble. And sometimes it's hard because of the messages that the world gives, you know, about being, you know, putting yourself first and making sure that you have the right cars and the right homes and the right this or that, you know. And so coming humbly before him is so important. And then the lessons that your children have learned, how you've been raising your children to also serve and love the Lord, is amazing. So your book, One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up, what was mainly the beginning of that? When did you start that book?
So that book was published in 2015, which doesn't seem like all that long ago, mm-hmm. but I guess it was 8 years. I had the opportunity to sign the contract for that book in 2013. I had no idea what it meant to publish a book. I just attempted my best to follow the steps, mm-hmm. landed at a conference where there were people who believed in me, which was pretty miraculous considering, I mean, Doris, I grew up one of nine kids. Okay. And I was in the middle. You know what they call the middle child? Nothing, right? Nothing. Mm-hmm. That's my point.
Yeah.
Is that I grew up in a teeny tiny town in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. And so I feel like in some ways it's like what they said about Jesus. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Mm-hmm. And so that small town and that big family, and I didn't have much of an education. I had some, but not much. And I just really feel like the Lord anointed me. Why? I don't know. I mean, I think he picks the weakest just to make his point. Just why he uses
that
me.
We know it's him, right?
I mean, it says that Moses was the meekest man on earth. He was also the man who messed up the most. Yeah. So God kept him humble through
he
his
couldn't
mess
talk
up.
Well, or, you know, any of that.
Well, the fact that you are a murderer before you become the leader of mm-hmm. God's people is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And so I certainly have not deserved any of the opportunities that God has given me. But yet what he looks at is our hearts, thankfully. And so just sincerely wanted to serve the Lord. And I started one more step. I started working on that book in 2012, pitched it at a conference in 2013, landed the contract, mm-hmm. and then wound up getting it published in 2015. It was a very long, hard journey. Mm-hmm. I will not lie to you. I had a lot of work to do. I had a lot of learning to do in how to write a book. Mm-hmm. I had developed a lot of short-term writing skills and short content writing skills, mm-hmm. but long form content, I had not developed those skills prior to that time. It was my first book. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot to pour myself out into that book. And we worked hard at it. I wish knowing what I know now is what I knew then, but that's not how it works, right?
Right.
So I am very honored that my editor at that publisher, Waterbrook Multnomah, was an incredible woman, still is, but the editor I had actually passed away. She's in heaven now, mm-hmm. but the acquisitions editor that I had was very good as well. And so that team at that publishing company mm-hmm. really helped me hone that material and make it what it is today. And praise the Lord, has over 300 reviews on Amazon. It has, you know, managed to be delivered into the hands of many, many more people than I ever would have imagined or asked. Mm-hmm. And so I am grateful for that opportunity. But if there's anyone listening who is just struggling mm-hmm. because you can't put one foot in front of the other, it just feels like too much to even move your body forward, to get it out of bed in the mornings, then I would encourage you to take that book and do one chapter at a time, just one chapter. It will take about 20 to 30 minutes of reading max if you're a slower reader, and really meditate on the scriptures that are listed at the end of each chapter mm-hmm. So that you can start to fuel yourself with strength from the Lord through his word and through the inspiration. You know, we are to be inspired or be moved forward, propelled by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimonies. Mm-hmm. So between the scripture and our family story that is weaved into that book, then my prayer is that people will be able to find themselves getting out of bed when life is hard, and take one step at a time. That book really is a lot of Psalm 18 that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. Dispersed throughout that book. Those chapter 10 specifically is about learning how to deal with overwhelm. And Psalm 18 is what I like to call David's survival guide. Mm-hmm. So he teaches us how he coped with being overwhelmed and how he was able to move forward and keep going with that. So yeah, I think that answered your question. Probably too much, but
not at all.
That's our tendency, right? When we're talking about our own material, yeah. It's easy to keep going.
Yeah, but I think that was just perfect and spot on because, you know, I was going to ask you to share something encouraging as we kind of get close to time of wrapping up, but it is such a needed message and it's never going to go away. I mean, people are going to continue to need that encouragement and, you know, how to move forward, in that it is something that they can take steps, even if it's like one step at a time. And I love that you are, that in the title it says that it's when you feel like giving up. And I also think it's so important that people feel like they have permission to say, you know what, I'm not okay. I'm not feeling okay today. I really need some encouragement and some help. And of course, going to the Lord first, and then how he puts people in our lives to surround us.
Yes, he definitely, he speaks to us through his word. Of course, he speaks to us through his will and his way, but he speaks to us through people. Yeah. And so I've found that sometimes the reason people are struggling is because they have isolated themselves, and just finding the courage, finding the strength to take a step, to put yourself out there, to move into keeping yourself moving rather than a stalemate. I mean, there were many times, Doris, where I found myself taking steps backwards, and I'm sure you recognize that as well. Like, not only was I not taking one more step, but I was going backwards. I was sliding, or I was sometimes deliberately taking steps backwards. And so just being focused on his word daily is so important. Starting our day with his word, having time to making the time to really intentionally be in his word and to pray and to be intimate with him. I mean, people will ask me even now, well, what do you pray when you get up? And I say, it's really easy. God, help me, help me, because I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your mercy. I need your grace. And I just tell him over and over again how much I need him. And some people would say, well, I start with a praise. You know, I start with praising the Lord for who he is. So I'll be honest, a lot of the times it takes me a little bit to get to the praise portion, because I am like, Lord, I am so messed up. Please help me and get my head on straight. And then as I'm praying and asking him for his mercy and his grace to flood my heart, and for his wisdom and guidance to flood my mind, then he does that. The Spirit does that. And I find myself in a place where I can actually function, and I recognize his mercy and grace, and then I begin to praise him. So I think we often, as Christians, believe we're supposed to go to God with the praise. And I will say that, you know, my heart is adjusting to praising all the time and to recognizing God's goodness, but God would rather hear from us than on our bad days, when we think that we shouldn't even go to him in prayer because we're having such a hard time and our attitudes are so miserable. Those are the times when we need to go to him the most.
Yes. Amen.
And so if we can just understand that he wants to take our frustrations, he wants to hear about our bad days. He would rather hear about your bad days, not hear from you at all. And I think that when we accept that, then we can move forward into gathering the strength that he offers and propelling us to another level. But it starts at ground zero and sometimes below.
Yeah, that is so encouraging, especially for someone that's listening right now, because sometimes prayer can feel even overwhelming. And if we know that it's okay to just say, help me, or just, you know, say, Jesus, help me get out of bed, even, you know, or the prayers, because you offer a lot of resources for that. You know, sometimes in the Holy Spirit will pray for us, you know, when we don't know what to pray. And so oftentimes prayer books or prayer resources and the things like that you also help and provide for people is very helpful. And even praying scripture, like if we can read even one verse, like what you were saying earlier, Lord, the battle is yours. The battle is yours. You know, help me. And so that's really precious and encouraging for someone today.
I always remind people that there's nothing wrong with borrowing prayers when you can't find the words to your for yourself. And there are so many times when grief has blinded me to the point to where I didn't even know what to say to God. I couldn't even collect words in my mind, much less force them out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And so to borrow the prayers of someone else is a huge gift. And that's why I make so many of those available on my website so that people can borrow those prayers. There's a prayer resource right now, 10 Calming Prayers. It's just a free ebook with beautiful scenery in it that people love downloading and just to read on their phone. So that when those moments come, you have a resource where you can say, I can't find the words, God, but I'm going to borrow someone else's today. Mm-hmm. And I will just go ahead and say, Doris, that this is such a topic. It's interesting that you brought it up because it's such a topic that's near and dear to my heart right now. Mm-hmm. I just finished a manuscript for a book called Desperate Prayers, Embracing the Power of Prayer in Life's Darkest Moments that will release October. So it's not available right now. But I am really excited to be able to offer that book because it is all about, not, it doesn't have the practical how-tos. It's not step one, pray this way. Step two, now pray this way. There is none of that in there because honestly, when you are facing the death of a child, you need the fewest words possible to be able to open up a channel to God. And so every prayer in this book of 15 chapters is three words.
Yeah.
God help me, God heal me, God show me. And each one just dives into how you can begin to place your burdens on the Lord and leave them there. And at the end of the chapter, that two word prayer does develop into a few sentence prayer. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of the book, those sentences are piled up into one bigger prayer, but still it just really breaks that barrier down when we're desperate. Mm-hmm. And how do we pray? And I will just say that a lot of people feel like they're so desperate they can't pray. Mm-hmm. But I believe that desperation is what fuels our dependence on God. Mm-hmm. And if we can learn to run to him instead of away from him, even if we have no words to offer him, then he sees our hearts and he will open those channels for us to be able to be ministered to. So it's such a near and dear topic to my heart. And I thank you for bringing it up.
It's very precious. And I'm in your group. And, you know, we were just humbled and privileged to pray for you as you were like certain word counts to get through it, because
yeah,
sometimes we just have to push through some things with the help of the Lord, and
yes,
especially
yes.
when it's not an easy project, but we know that it's something he's called us to, and it's something that is going to minister to so many hearts. So I can't wait for that to come out, and I have to have you back on again when that comes
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I would love to do that, Doris. I would love to.
Great.
And I honestly, I mean, I'm not quite ready for the mm-hmm. book to be released. We're working on the edits now and to get all the wrap ups done. And I think it hits the publisher in June, I think, as far as printing for print, but I am excited and I can't wait to see what God does with those prayers, because I know there are so many hurting people who need that resource as just a starting point to be able to turn to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so needed. And I would love if you would share how the listener can connect with you, how they can grab the resources that you mentioned and get on your list so that when you send out these updates, they'll know when the book's coming out.
Sure. I appreciate that. So at rachelwojo.com, it's RachelWojo.com. If you are a first time person coming over to the website, then I encourage you to go to the free calming prayers listed at the top of the page. And sometime, most of the time it will pop up for that opportunity for you to grab those prayers, mm-hmm. because I really believe that when we borrow the prayers of others, that can sometimes be the best launching point mm-hmm. for us to discover words on our own. And so I would encourage you to do that. There is also so many resources there, the blog, the podcast, all types of free Bible reading plans, There is a store available there with all the Bible reading journals that I have procured over the years, as well as One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up. Mm-hmm. And those books are all available on Amazon as well. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in following on social media, you know, Doris, I am just not the best social media person in the world, but I am on Facebook and I am on Instagram, and mm-hmm. I do my best to keep up with what's going on there and keep everything in front of people who are interested in finding out what Jesus has to offer them. Mm-hmm. I will say that I think I have on Instagram right now something new that I started. It's called a prayer circle, mm-hmm. and it is a broadcast channel. So if you go to my profile, you'll see it says Rachel Wojo's prayer circle. Mm-hmm. And that literally is just an audio prayer that I pray over you almost every night or every other day. Several times a week, I will pray, offer prayers that I find, mm-hmm. offer prayers that are in the Bible, and really just try to encourage people to stay connected with God in prayer.
I love it so much. And it's so personal too. And, you know, for someone's heart that really needs to have that encouragement and to know words that they can borrow. I love how you kind of refer to it as that, because it doesn't mean their prayers are not authentic. It just means that they're speaking words that were encouragement and inspired by a sister in Christ. So, yeah, you know,
one of my good friends said today, they're prayers of hope when you're at the end of your rope.
Oh, there you go. I love that so much. And it's easy to remember. And so check it out today, friends, and check out, and I'll have the links in the show notes so they can reach out and connect and find these resources. So thank you so much. This has been such a joy and a pleasure to have you on the show. It's just been really refreshing and encouraging today.
Thank you, Doris, for having me. God bless you.
Friend, God bless you. And we will talk soon. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope this episode really encouraged, inspired, and challenged you to take action where your passion, compassion, and conviction intersect. Friend, is God calling you to something today? You're not sure, but you feel something really strong within you. Just ask the Lord to show you, to open those doors. God has a plan for you, and He has a purpose for His kingdom to continue. We've been called to share our stories, just like Rachel did today. And I want to also encourage you to check out her website. I have all the links in the show notes so you can connect with her. And friend, I also want to remind you that I would love to come and speak at one of your women's events. So check it out on my website at daraswift.com or womenspeakers.com, and you can connect with me there and we can chat about that. So I love that so much. So friend, I hope you join me next time when I talk with another woman who's taking action where her passion, compassion, and conviction intersect. Until then, friend, have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode that is part of the Spark Media Network that can now be heard on the Edify app.